So I will share some experience regarding uranium mining in France and Africa. My organization is called CRIRAD, and I am the director of the CRIRAD laboratory. So first, a few brief words about what is CRIRAD. So CRIRAD means Commission for Research and Independent Information about Radiation. So it's an NGO, which has been created in 1986, just after the Chernobyl accident, because you know that the French government told us that due to the distance between Chernobyl and France, absolutely no contamination could occur in France. So a group of people, seeing that in Italy or Germany a contamination occurred, they decided to make their own measurements. So it took a few months to hire scientists to buy equipment to make measurements. And this association created an independent laboratory. So the scope of CRIRAD is to inform people about the risks of ionizing radiation and to improve their protection against those risks. We have 4,000 supporters, members, that give a fee that will represent one-third of the budget of the CRIRAD structure. So because of this support of the citizens, we are independent from other groups like political parties, industry, and the state. And the two other thirds of the budget come from the work of the laboratory. This work is made for our citizens, for NGOs, for our local councils, city councils, regional councils. And we are interested in radiation. I mean, natural radiation, like radon at home, medical radiation, which gives high doses, and obviously the nuclear cycle, mines, nuclear plants, reprocessing plants, etc. So the first job of the CRIRAD laboratory was to measure the amount of cesium that fell on the French territory. And on this map, you have the red spots with figures between 10,000 and 30,000 becquerels per square meter, which are not negligible fallout figures. We worked on various topics linked with nuclear fuel or radiation, like checking the rate of radiation from a train that was transporting waste. We measured the gamma rate excess 40 meters away from the train. You have a picture of the laboratory with the gamma spectrometry equipment and the place where we prepare the samples. We also made measurements near the La Hague pipe for Greenpeace and made some measurements in Polynesia because of, you know, the nuclear tests. So now I will begin the speech about uranium mining in France. In France, we had about 200 mines, small ones and bigger ones, so open pits and underground mining. Uranium mining in France took place at the end of the 40s and stopped by the year 2001 when the last mine was stopped. So today, the uranium used in France comes from Canada, Niger, Kazakhstan, etc. This map gives you an idea of the places where uranium mines are in France. You see that we have mines in France, in fact, in many areas over France. Well, you saw many pictures of mines, so I will go further. So I will speak about five different small topics. The first one is coping with radioactive rocks, I mean low-grade rocks from the mines that have been used for road construction or sometimes under buildings. This is a uranium decay chain. It has been already explained by Gordon and Peter. So I just want to tell you again that in this decay chain, you have in fact 14 radionuclides, which are heavy metals like uranium-238, radium, thorium-230, polonium-210, and you have this radioactive gas, radon. And you should remember that the uranium-238 half-life is 4.5 billion years. So it's a very long-lived material. The problem is that the waste rocks from the mines can have a quite high activity. If you compare it to the normal activity of the Earth's crust, which is about 40 becquerel per kilogram, waste rocks can typically have an activity of 4,000 becquerels per kilogram. So it is, for example, 100 times above the natural value. So if you use those waste rocks for a road construction or building, you use material which is 100 times more radioactive than normal ground. In some places, those rocks are stored, I mean, gathered together, like on this picture, but in other places, they have been reused by the people for landfill. For example, at this place in France, it's a parking car of the ski resort, we measured a dose rate on the ground of 2 microsieverts per hour, which is 10 times above natural level. This is the courtyard of a farm in France, where the farmer used also waste rocks from the mine, because those rocks were not under the French regulation, so the people could use them very freely. And they were told by the companies that it was not dangerous, because uranium is natural, so it's not dangerous. This is one of the big lies that enable people to think that uranium mining should not be dangerous, as uranium is natural. So at all of those places where we made measurements and we demonstrated that the radiation level was high, it was always a big fight to have the company to take the material back. And if we succeed, it's always because we have the support of local groups and sometimes of the elected people, like the city mayor, and also the support of the media. If we don't use the press coverage, we cannot put the pressure on the companies so that they invest money to rehabilitate the areas. Another problem around uranium mines is the fact that people use uranium minerals. Some of those minerals are very nice, with yellow color, green color, red color, depending on the chemical form of the uranium. And some people use those samples in their house. So here you have an example of a mineral that was kept by a woman in France in her garden. This is the same picture. And we measured on the contact of the mineral in the garden among the flowers a dose rate of 1 millisievert per hour, which is 5,000 times above background level. And at a distance of 1 meter, the dose rate was 18 microsievert per hour, which is, depending on the place, let's say 90 times above background value. So if you calculate the dose for this woman and you compare it with the Euratom standards, if she stays 1 hour, only 1 hour at 1 meter from the mineral, the cancer risk is estimated non-negligible by the Euratom value. And if she stays 10 minutes every day for the whole year, the dose will exceed the 1 millisievert per year standard, so the cancer risk is estimated unacceptable. The problem is that this piece of uranium came from the mining places, and the technicians and engineers of the mine never told the people that it was dangerous. So we suggested with the citizens and the elected people, first, that a global inventory of all the places where such radioactive rocks were used. And this has begun in France in some places. Secondly, if a place has been built on radioactive rocks and they cannot pay for rehabilitation, at least this should be written in the property documents. Third, we think that a national strategy should be designed, first of all, to fix a level of radiation above which the rocks should be thrown away. This doesn't exist in France. So then it's a fight between the will of the people and the will of the uranium company. Obviously, we need a place to store the radioactive rocks, and we think it would be good to have a national fund to help the people that have radioactive rocks in their property, but will have to pay a company to get rid of the radioactive rocks. Second problem, we discussed it earlier, radon gas. So radon is a very mobile gas. It is well known that it is carcinogenic to humans. This has been stated, for example, by the AIRC in 1988, but in fact it's well known for decades. So it is estimated worldwide that radon gas is approximately responsible of about 10% of lung cancer, because radon emits alpha particles, and Gordon explained to you this morning, a few hours ago, that alpha particles are very dangerous when they are emitted inside your body. So two different problems: radon in the outside air and then inside buildings. So why do you have radon outside in the outside air near a mine? First, in order to protect the miners, the companies have fans, stacks, to get the radon out. But then it goes into the atmosphere. And you see on the picture on the left that this stack, for example, was located a few hundred meters from a house. So the miners will breathe not a lot of radon gas, but the people will breathe a lot of radon. And the other picture show you a stack in Niger. There is no fence, so the nomads, the Tuaregs, can go near this stack. Let's look at the last line of this table. We have the estimate of the annual radon discharge by French mines in Limousin in 1991. For example, this particular mine of Fanet, we could estimate a discharge of more than 200,000 billion becquerels per year, which is a huge amount of radiation. Radon gas has a short half-life, let's say 4 days. But it means that every 4 days, the activity will decrease by a factor of 2. But it's long enough to go a few kilometers away. And then radon will give lead-210, polonium-210, which are more long-lived. So it will create a contamination of the plants and the soil around the radon source. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. We made measurements around mine, and obviously we discovered that the radon gas concentration outside the mines was high. But we discovered also, in this case in Limousin, that the official monitoring station from the companies were not located at the place where the radon gas was high, and especially that they used places with high radon levels to calculate background level, so that the difference from the mine compared to natural radiation was lowered. This is a typical way to let people think that the impact is low. But the main problem with radon is if you build your house with radioactive material or on radioactive material, because uranium, and especially radium, will then produce this gas that will enter your house through the walls or through the cracks in the concrete of your house. So this is an example in France of a sawmill that has been built a few decades ago on a vast platform made of radioactive rocks from the mine, a Kogema mine. A Kogema technician had checked the radiation a few years ago, and he said it was no problem. We measured radiation in 2001, and we discovered that the amount of radon gas inside the building was very high, more than 7,000 becquerel per cubic meter, which is 7 times above the emergency level, which meant that, in fact, the radiological impact was very high. So the company had to pay for removal of the radioactive rocks, and 8,000 cubic meters of those radioactive rocks have been digged off from near the sawmill and below the sawmill. You see on this picture the amount of material that has been digged off. The third subject is the problem of radioactive scrap metal. As you can imagine, all the equipment in the mine or in the mill will be contaminated by uranium, radium, polonium. So this should be checked very cautiously. So I will give you the example of a short mission we made to Niger in December 2003. We were invited, well, in Niger you have two big companies, Cominac and Somaïr, which are subsidiaries of the Areva Cogema, big French company, and they are mining in the desert. But a lot of people live in this desert because you have more than 80,000 people living in the cities that have been built to welcome the workers and to begin uranium extraction. The companies tried to stop us, but we told them that we decided the mission because we were invited by a local group of people called Agirenman, Tuaregs. And what the company did is that they organized the thing so that our equipment was confiscated when we arrived in the capital in Niamey. But then we could use very small Geiger-Müller detectors that the people did not detect at the airport. And we made some checks here in Arlit City in Niger. The checks lasted 3 minutes because we were afraid of the police, military, and companies that were looking at what we were doing. And in a few minutes, we discovered, for example, a piece of metal whose dose rate was 10 times above natural background. This is a piece of metal that we bought to the man in the street. And we brought back to the laboratory a small piece of the metal, and we analyzed it. The content was 10,000 becquerel per kilogram for uranium and more than 200,000 becquerel per kilogram for radium. So this is a dangerous piece of metal. And the problem is that in this country, in Africa in general, people use scrap metal for everything. They could prepare some cooking stuff, or some people, as you see, can build a sort of house with drums. So we made a press release in December, and we asked the company to think again the way the scrap metal was checked. And we asked the company also to prepare a special mission to really make a gamma scanning in the streets of Arlit so that they would identify the scrap metal already in the environment. So they said that they had no regulation until 1999 for the checks of scrap metal. And then they used a French standard of 1 microgray per hour at 50 centimeters. But the problem is that this standard is very high, because if you spend 3 hours a day at a distance of 50 centimeters from such a metal, you will exceed the 1 millisievert per year dose limit. So this is not a safe limit. This is another problem, a very general problem with uranium mining. The fact is that the standards are much too high to really protect the people from radiation. Fourth subject, which has been already discussed by Peter, is the problem of the contamination of underground waters. And I will say a few words also about the problem of liquid effluents. So regarding the contamination of underground water, we have the example of Niger. We are in the desert. There is a non-renewable water table 150 meters down, and the companies are pumping this water for the industrial use, 40%, and to give water to the population, 60%. When we made the mission, Areva, the company, said that they checked the radiological status of the water, and they wrote that there was no contamination. So we made some sampling, we made some analysis, and we discovered that, in fact, some of the pits that were used to produce drinkable water for the people and or workers had a uranium and also other nuclides content that exceeded WHO standards. So this is just one of the examples of the lies of this kind of company. But if you don't measure yourself, you cannot show that there is a lie. So it seems to be that some of the most contaminated drills have been closed now, but it would be good to check it. The problem with uranium mining is that the radioactivity of the waters that are pumped from the mines or mills is obviously higher during the exploitation, but even after. I mean, even when a mine is closed, the water table, for example, will leach some of the uranium or radium which will remain in the mine, and the activity will be higher after mining than before. The problem is that some of those nuclides are very radiotoxic when ingested, like lead-210 and polonium-210. Gordon told you that Litvinenko had been poisoned by polonium-210, and it is exactly the same polonium which is present in the uranium ore. So we won't look at the figures. We made measurements, and obviously we discovered that the amount of uranium or radium or lead in those waters from the mines was above background levels and above health standards. That is the reason why... This is just to illustrate this problem of radiotoxicity. On this diagram, you have in blue natural nuclides from the uranium decay chain, and in yellow, you have plutonium. And you have the dose coefficient in microsievert per becquerel. You see that polonium and lead, which are natural substances, have a much more elevated dose coefficient than plutonium. Well, plutonium is a very dangerous substance, but it's just to show that those natural nuclides also. So the problem is that the companies have to treat, to reprocess, to treat the waters, but the systems they used are very, very raw. It's just like on those figures, letting the effluent settle down in a basin so that radium, using some chemicals, will go into the sediments. But it is not perfect. And the amount of remaining activity is high. We made some checks in France near Kojima mines in 1993, and we discovered, for example, that if we took five samples, two of them exceeded the standards. And the problem is that, so this was in excess of the regulation, and the problem is that when we asked the administration to give us the figures that were measured by the company, they gave us, and we discovered that the fact that the regulation was not respected was not something rare. For example, you see the figure at the bottom. During the year 1991 in this Puy de Lage mine, the radium content of the water after treatment exceeded the limit of 0.37 becquerel per liter in May, June, August, September. And in fact, the annual average value, 0.39, was exceeding the limit. So, in fact, we just discovered that the companies were not treating the waters in a proper manner. And this is still the case now in France, even for mines that have been stopped 20 years ago. I mean, it's not because the mine is closed that you will not have the problem of water. So I will now... Well, I will conclude orally without other pictures. The problem with the waters is that if you have uranium, radium, polonium in the waters, they will then accumulate in the sediments and the plants. This is a problem which is usually not properly taken in consideration by the people that have prepared the regulation. And regarding this problem of water, it's a very big problem. And the companies do not know, I mean, at least in France, do not know how to treat those waters even decades after the closure of the mine. The last part was about the tailings, but I think that Peter gave a very global view of the problem of the tailings. So I think it's better to stop now, and I thank you for your attention.